Do you know what bigot baiting is? It's a technique to shut you up. They're using it on me now. I'm a racist now. I'm a bigot. I'm also, I guess, supportive of toxic masculinity. Other sins like this. The left is losing its mind over the Molly Tibbetts column. And I went on Facebook. I went on the Tribune's Facebook page to read incredible things about me that I didn't know. I guess I am a goblin freak, according to the people on that page. I invite you to go on it and see, maybe defend Casso. But there was another issue involving Facebook that really got me. A number of readers on Facebook notified me that when they tried to share my column, you know what happened? The column wouldn't share. It was blocked as spam. Is John Cass being shadow banned or whatever they call it? Is Facebook squeezing me? I don't know. We'll talk about it with Kristen McQuarrie of the Chicago Tribune's editorial board and my buddy Jeff Carlin of WGN's Rokan and Anna show. We've got other things to discuss. Can a cop smoke a cigarette in his own squad car without being called a pot smoker? And schools opening up. Imagine that. Schools opening up. Public school in Chicago, like Catholic school in Pennsylvania. Imagine, in the Catholic schools of Pennsylvania, you have bishops who did nothing about sexual abuse welcoming the children back, saying, "Thanks, Mother. Thanks, Father. Leave your children with us. We'll take care of them. We didn't do anything for 20, 30 years while they were being raped, but that's okay, because the Chicago Public Schools has its own issue. And politicians, the mayor on down, are going to welcome kids back. Nothing of substance was done over that Betrayed series about sexual abuse in the schools. This is John Cass, Chicago Tribune columnist, and you're listening to The Chicago Way on WGN Plus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand with pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river, Casso.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
So, Jeff Carlin, the Facebook spam conspiracy against John Cass. What do you think of that?
That's amazing, John. That's something like I'm blown away by that. You know, it's one of those things you've heard about. You know, that, oh, that's they're targeting, they're anti.
They don't want conservatives.
Right, yeah.
You know, I can deal with, kind of, not really deal. I really hate it, but I can deal with people on, you know, saying, "There goes John Cass blaming an entire race for the crime of one man against Molly Tibbetts," which I didn't do.
No,
I mean,
not even close.
Not even close on the podcast. In the column, I did the complete opposite and said Donald Trump is disfiguring the debate by overinflating the number of cases involving. But there are many, many cases involving illegal immigrants who commit crimes.
Hang on, I just want to turn this.
Okay,
so you can talk to me.
Yeah,
there you go.
But there, so I said that Trump overinflated it. I did criticize him. I said he disfigures the debate, but it didn't matter. That was one thing. What really bothered me was this Facebook spam. I went on Facebook and learned how to snip these screenshots and put them up. And people, there's so many people that were calling saying that my column was considered spam by Facebook. So I was thinking, okay, this is a column I'm going to write, you know, in high moral dudgeon about censorship and the left and all that. The Tribune's managing editor for digital news got involved and started asking questions of Facebook. And then Facebook announced publicly, this is news just breaking. Can I read it?
Yeah, go for it.
Facebook. Yesterday, we fixed a bug that caused some posts to be incorrectly marked as spam.
Oh.
We've restored the posts that were affected, and we're very sorry this happened. Where did they announce it? On Twitter.
there's nice. The irony. That's great.
What do you think of that? You can't spam podcasts, though. Can you say podcasts are spam?
No. If they usually don't media stuff that's usually not spam. It's just like straight link posts they'll call spam. But if you post a photo or a video, a lot of that stuff just gets right through. There is no, they take the likelihood of someone going to the extent of creating content to actually upload or link to is unlikely. But
how about this? All these lefties who hate Casso that go on my page and friend me, and I'm a friendly guy, yeah. So I let everyone can be on. You can come on and criticize. I've got several that are like nudges,
yeah,
that come on, and I like it. I like when they come on and challenge Sanford Slansky and Matthew Lorette.
Yeah, La Tourette.
Other people come on, and I like that.
Yeah.
Some of them are a little crude and
yeah, that'll happen. That's
But I'm told that if you don't like somebody's post, you can mark it as spam, can't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you get a bunch of, like, say, you have your own political organization of communist thugs on Facebook, you can all mark it as spam, right? And then spam. Then what? Well, Facebook, you know, okay, it's spam, and then
yeah, shut it down? They don't take it outright. I mean, there's usually they look at where it's originating because they can tell that, and they don't look at everything. I mean, they don't keep things like, let's say something comes from the middle of Siberia, and it's some computer that's posting stuff on Facebook. They don't automatically scratch that stuff out. But if someone says, "Hey, this looks fishy,"
right,
they can see where it came from in the world.
It's a Russian bot,
right? And then I'll say, so we've
Jeff, alerted. I'm not a Russian bot.
I know.
I mean, you did your walk with Chris, the long walk with Christine. You posted that. You're not a Russian bot. What if people started spamming that?
Yeah,
don't you like that, Jeff? Wouldn't like that very much at all, would you?
So your hypothesis here is that there's someone actively in an office at Facebook who is like, oh, duh, John Cass is spam. Or is that somebody marked it as spam or was...
I don't know. People were trying to share it, and they couldn't. And they had to... I think there's an appeal process where you go to Facebook and appeal and get on your knees while you're, you know, in front of your laptop and beg, maybe light a candle, sacrifice a lamb, something, and say, no, it's not spam. And I think you have to do it three times, interestingly enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Three times, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of like, it's always three. Answer me these questions three. Yeah. I have three wishes.
Yeah. People like threes. Odd numbers for some reason.
It's a religious thing. But I don't know. We'll see. Now, there's another thing that came up before when we were walking in. You told me about your buddy Brian Altheimer and this post of a copper having a cigarette in his squad car. And it became a big deal because some woman videoed it and started screaming that he was smoking pot.
Yeah. And
what is...
So the story goes that there was someone woman posted on Facebook that she was, and she was like 20 feet away, but there was a cop in an alley behind a building in his squad smoking a cigarette.
Why was he behind the alley in the alley behind a building?
So the story goes that she shoots this and she's like, oh, they're smoking pot over there. How dare they? Those pigs, you know, people are getting killed and they're terrible. Blah, blah, blah.
This is a black woman.
Yeah. And she puts it
on. White copper?
It's hard to tell. I mean, yeah, it looked like a white cop, but I mean, it doesn't get close.
Could be Greek.
It could be anything.
Greek or Puerto Rican.
Right. From the video, the video is not the best quality. It's a cell phone and she's a good 20, 25 feet away.
Right.
And she's asserting that it was the cop smoking weed and that the cop is, you know, just terrible and all that goes with it. And my friend Brian Altimer, who's grew up in Angola and is a black man, he sees everything. And he's the type of person who more often than not looks at the Evans and sees when things happen. He's a smart guy. Cops are doing a tough job. And cops, when a cop pulls him over, he listens to what they say. He complies. He does everything you're supposed to do.
He's a former Marine, right?
He's a former Marine.
Keep the hands on the wheel, turn the dome light on.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah, he doesn't mess around.
Games. Right.
Right. And he came out saying, this is what's wrong. Not the only thing that was wrong, but this is something that's wrong with society or culture in his neighborhood where he's grown up, that no matter what a cop does, no matter where a cop is, they're the enemy. They're always the enemy.
Right.
And his point was that a cop, one, there's no way a cop is sitting in a squad car smoking weed. That's just not going to happen in broad daylight. That's just, there's no way, there's no person dumb enough in that force to do that, because the fact alone, one, his squad would reek of weed. His clothes would reek.
He's a bad lieutenant, okay?
Right.
It's not real life.
Right.
Not now.
Right. So that's not going to happen. Right. Number two, a cop is they're people. They're human beings. So the cop, according to what we learned from a cop who posted on Brian's Facebook page, who's a friend of Brian's, said that that cop technically is breaking protocol by being out in the open in his uniform smoking a cigarette. That's just,
are you there? Okay, this is where stupidity from that woman leads to enlightenment.
Right.
Are you telling me that a cop in uniform can't have a smoke?
Right. They're not supposed to. It's frowned upon.
Why?
Is it
not a legal thing? So a cop can't even...
It's an image thing. I mean, it's...
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
so what happens with the sergeant and the big cigar? The stubby cigar, like the blunt. From Sean from Elmwood Park. Those cigars that I have. I smoked one in the other day in the garden doing the podcast in the tomato garden.
Right. So it's.
Did you smell it?
Okay.
But I mean, come on, man.
Right. It's.
Why is everyone down on these guys?
I know, and there's no doubt, and you can't gloss over the fact that there have been some bad actors in the police force historically. I mean, we're talking not just the last 10 years, 20 years. We're talking the last 100 years.
Yeah.
I mean. There's no doubt.
Oh, yeah.
And those guys
get the
take the dogs headlines.
And the water cannons out.
Exactly.
Go after Martin Luther King or in Chicago.
Yeah, absolutely. But his greater point was that this animosity, this idea that, if there's a cop, he's an ass. I can't do it. I got to be, he's my enemy.
Unless
and
kid gets shot.
Exactly.
Or you get shot or you're scared that someone's coming through your door. Then you're like, please, Mr. Officer. Please, Mr. Officer, save me. Save me, Joe Lewis. Save me, Joe Lewis.
Exactly.
Like that. I got one for you.
Yeah.
What about that old lady in Georgia cutting the dandelions?
Yeah.
You heard about this?
Yeah.
One? Oh, did we talk about it?
You put it in the last podcast, the story of it. Yeah. But that, again.
Sorry. Okay. What about the cops in Wilmette?
Right.
Knocking on the door of the,
Although,
ma'am, did you really let your daughter go out? It's not their fault.
No.
On social media.
They have to respond. I mean, that's.
On social media, police officers have, responded to my tweet about that column I wrote last week. And they were like, we have to answer that call.
Yeah,
of course you do. But does DCFS have to start investigating you?
Yeah, DCFS, who in this state has a terrible track record. Of actually protecting children who are at risk. I mean, there is no question. You look at the facts.
Right.
The terrible track.
Oh, you're on heroin? Oh, you're a child abuser? Well, here. You want the child back then?
Right.
Here. Did you beat somebody to death? Yeah. Here, have your child back, because you broke the child's ribs, but only two.
Right.
So why don't you have your kid back? Stuff like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now
they're going to go after the little girl walking the Maltese? So I think it was, there's something in our culture, like you have the woman videoing the police officer, right? Like, I'm going to get you,
right.
Pothead smoker.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have busybody old people. And, well, Matt, like, how dare you walk? Your dog crapped on my lawn.
Right.
Right. Was it a crap thing? The police said no. I called the police. Well, Met police. They said no, it wasn't a crap thing. But I was kind of hoping it was a crap thing, you know? Because little girls, they don't want to touch poo.
No.
And if they didn't have a bag.
Right.
Yeah. What are you going to do? They kind of ignore it. You know how kids are.
Right, exactly.
What are you going to call a DCFS on it?
Yeah. If people, that's, I don't know. It's, if,
that's so it, weird of a story.
You know, ye without sin cast the first stone.
You nanny.
Take care of yourself. That's the thing.
Nanny state beast?
I mean, it's one thing to see an actual crime being committed or actual something nefarious and suspicious. But
they don't call then.
But common sense.
They don't call then.
Right.
If El Chapo sends three of his men over
right.
to the guy across the street from you in the bungalow, you know, the one with the bedrooms full of cash floor to ceiling, and those guys get their heads chopped off, rolled up in Bisqueen, put in the garage, and you don't, the busybody doesn't call.
Right.
There's nobody calling. Hey, police officer there. They just chopped the guy's head off. It's on Colin or Keeler, wherever it was.
Yeah.
A few years ago. Nobody calls.
Right.
But a little girl, Maltese. I said Hershey's miniatures. Oh, Betty got upset about that. She also got upset about the ecosexual thing.
That was disturbing.
It should not have said it.
I don't know about that, but just that's in the realm of things that John Cass would tell me or I'd hear him talk about. That did not pass through my mind. And when I was listening to you discuss it, and then I had to go and like look it up to see how
you
it was spelled and like
you did look it up.
Yeah, and I was disappointed in having to do that, and I blame you.
It's kind of like when you clicked on child stars, like what does Marsha Brady look like now? And you click on it, you're like, what am I doing? But you keep clicking through.
Right.
You're like, what, is there a picture I missed? Like a hot Marsha Brady, then a weird Marsha Brady, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can't, right? You're just caught. But there is such a thing as ecosexuals, and I told Betty that I'm a journalist. And
go where the story takes you.
Here's where it took me. Typical wimp. It took me to a place where I realized, okay, these two women are lesbian activists. And then I thought, am I going to get, like, shunned by the LGBTQ whatever and the reporters who cover them dearly? Am I going to, you know, because I already got an issue. I already got an issue at work.
No?
Yeah. Okay. You know when I said there was a column I did last week about the Democratic media complex and Trump and everyone's ignoring the left melting down? I think some colleagues got upset. Actually, I know. I saw it on social media, and they were like denouncing it, like reporters that I know, that we are not part of the Democratic media complex. I've never done... You know, yeah, but, dude, you don't even do political stories. But anyway, that's okay.
Yeah.
Now, what does Cass do? I looked at the story. I mean, I looked at the thread, right, of the Twitter.
Yeah.
And there was one funny thing about somebody saying, well, you don't even share treats on Treat Wednesday. And I liked it. Was that wrong? I liked it because I didn't want to be a troller, you know,
right.
Like a lurker, whatever those
people are called.
I wanted to acknowledge, yes, I saw this tweet, but I didn't want to make a thing.
Right.
It's just
I
just want to be non-controversial. I swear to God. I just want to write about tomatoes. Then when I do, everyone's like, you wimp, a-hole. Why are you writing about tomatoes? I mean, I don't know, Jeff. It's like I feel like curling up into a little ball.
I know.
Fetal position. We got to ask Kristen McQuarrie about that, I think.
Absolutely.
She might know if people are all upset at me for work. Okay, everybody, we're back. Kristen McQuarrie has joined us. Hello, Kristen.
Hello, John.
Let's
Hello,
see,
Jeff.
Hello.
She did 6 hours with Dan Prof. She got up at 2 o'clock in the morning on the south side, drove all the way out to Bumbleep, wherever it is. Elk Grove Village. That's a long haul. Then she did sat in Amy's cat chair and came back to do this.
Yeah, I'm covered in bunky hair.
Oh, I should have taken this Sudafed. All right, let me ask you a question, Kristen and Jeff. I want a hypothetical that in Pennsylvania, they're going back to school, right? State of Pennsylvania, they're going back to school.
I would assume.
And imagine they have their Catholic schools in Pennsylvania and an issue about 30 years of sexual abuse from priests and the bishops didn't do anything about it. So what if they had like a day, like back to school day, where the bishops are in front of the school welcoming all the children and their parents, the same bishops who didn't do anything. Because we have that same thing here. We have back to school day coming up, and we're going to have the mayor and all the politicians, and they're going to be welcoming the children back to the Chicago public schools. And if I'm not mistaken, there's a newspaper in town that did a report about hundreds and hundreds of children being sexually abused, raped by teachers and staff. And I don't know if these, outside of spending $500,000 on a PR thing, I don't know what the schools have done. So when they welcome the kids back, is that a story?
I mean, I think CPS has not, there has not obviously been enough accountability with CPS. They are now doing background checks, and they moved some of this conflicts of interest away from the law department and over to the inspector general. But the outrage that you would think you would see with those numbers, I think it was 523 cases of kids reporting assault or abuse where police showed up at a CPS school and took a report. 523. And this isn't like Pennsylvania where they were looking at 30 years. The data from the Tribune, I think, just went back to 2011, want to say. So 2011 till 2017. That's how many cases. And it looks like CPS wasn't even tracking it. They didn't have a system in place. They didn't either that or they just systemically blocked requests from our reporters for information.
For years and didn't come through.
Yeah, but since January when they started.
So when the mayor opens the door for the schools, come on, kids, did they already open the schools?
No, I think CPS starts always after Labor Day, right?
Day after Labor Day.
Yeah.
Shouldn't they have like a big ceremony with maybe the inspector general of sexual abuse standing there saying, come on, kids?
I don't think probably you're going to see that, but they...
It's not in the budget, I'm sure.
It's not in the budget. Well, they just...
That's a budget joke, sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know why it's not getting enough attention. And I don't know why it's not getting enough attention, especially from the left, because...
Oh, my. They're
these are CPS kids. These are kids
racist.
Who already have, many of them, issues when they show up at school.
Yeah, and all you're seeing in headlines are, hey, the lowest dropout rate in year in decades and the highest graduation rate ever and... Oh my gosh, this is doing so well. But this story and the story about how there's hundreds of empty seats open for freshmen that are at the lowest number, smallest freshman class.
Yeah,
because they're not being sent to school.
Right. So, so you got those taking over headlines, which I mean, as John will sit, assert, and I assert, and pretty much the three of us will assert, there's a bend towards ROM here that it's like, why is this stuff not out there? The abuse scandal, this should be on every paper in the country, the third biggest school system in the country, and this has been going on for decades. And be like, we'll ignore it, no coverage.
I know. I like to think that we're just kind of swept in a vacuum of Trump. Just like everything that happens, every turn of the screw with the Trump administration kind of just creates this huge vacuum for attention,
black hole.
Yeah, but
plus if Trump's against illegal immigration, and so are you, then you must be Trump.
Right.
Right?
If you agree with anything that he does.
If you say, like, that girl would have been alive if the illegal immigrant hadn't been there to kill her, then you are a racist Trumpite.
Yeah, yes.
That's how they play.
Yeah, you can't really... I mean, there are a lot of people who are so anti-Trump who have said, if you voted for him, I did not, but if you voted for Trump, then... they've completely written you off as a just fill in the blank, you know, deplorable. So, yeah, the CPS sex abuse scandal, I expect. I know our newsroom won't let up, and there were probably more.
Oh, yeah. Thank God.
Right, but I'm as we tick toward the February mayoral race, I expect there will be more coverage. But it's awfully quiet, and I don't get it. Like, I feel like there have been lots of scandals under Rahm Emanuel that he's sort of able to manage and twist his way out of, and this might end up being one of them.
Do you think it's possible, Jeff? I'm just going to throw this out there hypothetically, but to address your point, I saw a story the other day, I think in another newspaper, not the Chicago Tribune, where the mayor's money man comes out and says, this is a great poll. Rahm's killing everybody. It's wonderful. He's got 70,000% or something, whatever it was. For, whatever it is. I think it was 38%. He's going to win. There's no problem. And it was covered as if it was a real story by another newspaper that is influenced by the mayor's money man.
I think they mentioned, though, that it was, right? I think it was up top that they mentioned it was a poll commissioned by the mayor's friend. But to give it any coverage.
Or just you put it in a note, like in a, like how we have clout the street.
Yeah, right.
You put it in that.
Yes. Nah. Like a notebook.
But. A big story. I don't know. Maybe it is. Know.
And I want to go back, step back to one thing you guys were mentioning about how the idea of where if you support Trump or you even mention that something he's done is good or bring up something positive Trump, oh, you're suddenly a Trump person. But I think that it's not even that. I don't that people tear you down. I think it's if you put up anything that's anti, like a liberal or anti Democrat story, or you shed light on something that a liberal is doing terrible. Even that gets you painted with a Trump brush. That it does. You don't even have to say Trump did a great thing here, and then all of a sudden you're being akin to him. You don't even have to go that far. I think
you just have to say fix immigration before you talk about Dreamers.
Yeah,
or, so that people don't get killed, and then you're a racist.
Or you take a shot at not a shot, but you criticize a Gutierrez or a Garcia or a Rahm or a Durbin, and all of a sudden you're automatically you're the enemy, and everything you do after that is they're just a racist Trumpophile. It doesn't matter.
It's called bigot baiting. Can you tell me what that is?
You know, I would actually like to know what you think it is, because I hear that phrase a lot, and I actually don't know. I don't.
It's a technique.
You talk.
It's a technique of discussion on social media, which I'd say is mostly on the left anyway. At least the guy at Twitter explained it, right? A lot of his employees are on the left, and I think the left is very good at Twitter, but also the right is good at it, so they're just screaming at each other. Bigot baiting is when I'm being bigot baited right now, where you say, I wrote a column saying about Molly Tibbetts, saying she shouldn't have been killed. If the logic is, if her killer hadn't been hadn't come here illegally, he wouldn't have been there to kill her. Very simple. And that's extrapolated into you're a racist, Cass, check your privilege, Cass. You're a white man who hates Mexicans. All this stuff. And people are flaming it not only on social media, but also on the Tribune's Facebook page.
So that when you say bigot baiting, they're baiting you to engage?
No, they're just basically calling me a racist to marginalize me and kick me to the margins.
Instead of just address the substance of what actually happened.
Now the response is, you didn't talk about what happened in Colorado where some white guy killed his family. Like, I didn't even know. Like, what does that have to do? Or you have to address, the issue is not immigration, it's toxic masculinity. I don't know what to say, Jeff.
I don't think there's any hypocrisy in being against violent crime.
Yeah.
And I think you devote plenty of space in your column if people read you regularly, which you know people don't. They read one thing and then they
just read the tweet.
They don't try to understand where you're coming from. But you devote a lot of space to trying to hold people accountable for violence in the city that dramatically affects black and minority neighborhoods. So I that's consistent. You know,
I'm not trying to, like somebody said, I love it when Cass is on his, climbs up on his cross to complain about criticism. I'm not doing that. But I'm just saying that for me, I've got a platform, you have a platform, Jeff, we're in the media, but what if you're not? What if you don't have a platform and you go on social media and say something and you're bigot baited or you're diminished immediately as a racist? A lot of people just turn away. They don't want to deal with it. They don't have the skin for it.
Right.
And then what?
The bullying and the silencing, I think, happens at both ends.
Yes.
I know, like, Eric Zorn gets an awful lot of really crude and horrible emails and things said to him as well. So,
But I have to give Eric credit, even though we don't agree on probably anything. I do give him credit for offering reasoned, or, like, he doesn't offer just attitude. He comes with a policy perspective or
data,
and it's not just snark or you're a racist.
It's not emotional. I mean, not emotional. It doesn't come.
Well, it's sometimes it can be emotional, which is rare for Eric.
But it's so. I mean,
he's
that's
a thoughtful, thoughtful critic.
But that's like we've talked about this too. The emotion of everything now. Everything is my emotions first, logic and thought or facts, you know, maybe second.
Mm-hmm. I think we should switch subjects if you don't mind before we go.
Yeah.
Ecosexuals, yes or no?
I don't know what that is.
Betty's upset now. It became a big thing at dinner last night with the family.
What is the word?
Ecosexual.
ECO.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah, it's a new gender, and she's so
not gender.
Yeah, you were going to say it was a position.
Sexual proclivity. I don't think it's gender. You're not a man, woman, or equal sexual. It's
you're not an equal cis-sexual?
Gender preference. No, it's not. It's not a gender
only
preference
cis,
thing. This is a gender thing, which I still don't understand.
Right.
But the equal sexual, that's a proclivity. You know, like you can be a gay male, but you're still a male. Or you can be, you know, a trans male or some other.
Can you be an equal sexual?
You can be equal sexual man or a woman or whatever your sexual.
It's not a gender.
It's not a gender.
Okay, sorry.
You go
everybody.
Back and forth and into who you're attracted to.
Like the earth.
Well, the ecosexuals are attracted to, Mother Nature.
They're attracted to Mother Nature?
Physically. Oh. Betty lost it at dinner. Right. She's like, oh my God, why did you say that?
That's what I thought you meant when you first said it, but then I wasn't sure, and now I'm just confused. Sort of like the woman who married the train station?
Yes. Or the man who fell in love with his car and married his car.
So these are
that's
you
a
can be
tax thing.
What's that?
Wasn't that a tax thing?
No.
That
was a British guy, and he actually made love to his car, and it was, you know, he would take it on dates. And...
Okay, so,
oh,
if,
my
so if you're
dear
on,
Lord.
If you know that there was a scene from Monty Python where the professor is walking around in the woods, from Cambridge or something, and he's walking around talking about the knights. And the knights were, you know, and he's all, like, romantic about, like, what they were.
Mm-hmm.
And he loves them. They're heroic and everything. And all of a sudden, here comes Sir Lancelot behind him with a sword chopping his head off. And I'm thinking, I said that about the ecosexuals, okay? Like, you're having love with the earth, and that's when the knights
that's when you get your head chopped off.
Yeah.
Yeah, John.
That's another thing I was accused of. Like, how dare you? You can't say that. Like,
this was a conversation over dinner?
Well, it kind of stretched. I was trying to bring it up over dinner, and I was told not to. And then I just pushed it, you know?
Yeah.
Shouldn't
have done that.
And John did the piece on the other part of that. Let me do the first part or the first podcast of the week. And there was a phrase, and I'm listening to editing this, and John says, and they put condoms on their fingers, and they make love to the soil. And I was, what? Like, my head almost exploded when I heard you say that.
Yeah, she's all upset now. She said, I'm hurting my career, that I shouldn't say that. You know, I don't know.
Oh, I mean, you're not the one
you can't say on the radio, like two crazy women with fern wigs have sex with the earth. You can't just say it.
We're really missing out on some opportunities for a reality show inside the cast households. I mean, precious moments are slipping away.
Excuse me,
we need to get this going.
Talking about a certain cocktail just an hour ago, and I almost lost my breakfast of fresh tomatoes that I forgot to bring you guys. And feta
cheese. Christine's going to be so disappointed.
Feta cheese, a little olive oil.
It's a cocktail?
Yeah, there was a certain cocktail somebody was talking about that I had to hear it, and it was out of your mouth.
About tomatoes?
Yeah. No.
Oh, you're talking about the...
baby.
Oh, that's the smoothie. Yeah.
You know about this perversion now?
No.
There's some science that the bacteria that is found
fecal...
in small babies' matter, if you digest it, it's sort of like a probiotic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, there's actually a science behind that.
Shut up.
I swear to God.
Devil worshippers. And people, both get me out of here. It's a small room.
You have the placenta as your main course.
Right.
And then you have the probiotic poo-poo smoothie.
But that's the
when
weird
do you
dessert.
Get the placenta
the other way,
for, like, dessert?
The actual, Jesus like, you go to a doctor Christ. And they do this. They will transplant fecal material from somebody who supposedly has a super healthy gut, but they do it in a suppository form, and that goes the other way, so you'd absorb it that way, and so it doesn't go through your body. You know, it goes...
There you go.
And that's and they say it's a legitimate thing.
Does that make
God
you feel better?
Weirdos. I swear to God. Better? For John Cass, why do I always say that? For Kristen McQuarrie of the Chicago Tribune's editorial board doing double broadcast duty today. For Jeff Carlin from WGN's Rokan and Anna Devlana show. Awesome. Killer furniture in your office, man.
Yes, thank you. Walter E. Smith, ding.
Yeah, and for me, John Cass, columnist at the Chicago Tribune. And over there, everybody hates me now. This has been another edition of the Chicago Way.